England, Our England, written and compiled by Alan Titchmarsh. Read by Alan Titchmarsh, Charles Collingwood and Judy Bennett. Will I always feel too embarrassed to say I'm English? I was born in the world. I was born in Europe. I was born in Britain. I was born in England. All these statements are true. But if you ask me my country of origin, it's England. So here's a celebration of some of the things that are English. Things we can be proud of, rather than apologise for. You'll find there are lots of things that are not in it. There's not much about football, but then I don't see why 11 men I don't know should dictate me mood of a weekend. There's even less about the Bill, or EastEnders. I don't like them much. But there is a bit about how to make the perfect cup of tea, and Alan Bennett, and Alfred Wainwright. I like them. There are snippets of this and that, which will give anyone coming to this country for the first time an idea of the sort of place we live in, the sort of people we are, or were. Our history is, after all, a part of what we are today, more than those things that have only just happened and which might fade into oblivion in a few years' time. You could accuse England, Our England, of being a bit old-fashioned in its outlook, but then so am I. It must be something to do with being English. So I'm sorry. I thought we'd start with one of our greatest traditions, the monarchy. A wit once remarked that in a few years' time, there will be only 5 royal families left. Hearts, clubs, diamonds, spades and Windsor. He may well be right. But the Windsors are only the last in a long line of English kings and queens, though few of them were born here. The philosopher Bertrand Russell was quite clear on what he considered to be their function.
I was taught a kind of theoretic republicanism, which was prepared to tolerate a monarch so long as he recognised that he was an employee of the people and subject to dismissal if he proved unsatisfactory. My grandfather, who was no respecter of persons, used to explain this point of view to Queen Victoria, and she was not altogether sympathetic.
There is a pecking order that works its way down through the royal family and the minions below. It's called the Order of Precedence. It's an official list showing the most important people in the land, right down to mere mortals at the bottom of the heap. It's a handy reminder of where we sit in the general scheme of things. And I'm pleased that, thanks to my being a member of the most excellent order of the British Empire, I'm now fourth from the bottom. When it comes to addressing your monarch and her closest relatives, you'll need to be aware of the correct words to use, both in writing and in speech, should the occasion arise. For those who wish to communicate directly with the Queen, here's what you should put at the beginning of your letter.
Madam, or may it please your Majesty.
And at the end,
I have the honour to remain, Madam, your Majesty's most humble and obedient servant.
Many people have dreams about taking tea with the Queen. In the unlikely event of this dream becoming reality, Unity Hall and Ingrid Seward have helpful advice on how the proceedings might unfold.
The royal family and their guests still change for tea. The women take off their tweeds and put on...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?